B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week's dog out of here.
Friday edition, Toucher and Rich. Fred and Rich both off today. John Wallach, Joe Murray just sitting over there. It's a beautiful day outside. It's August. It's time for playoff hockey. But before we get to that, you know, Joe and I, we look forward to these Fridays. It's the third time we've done this. And, you know, the reviews from management are generally good. And the extra pressure is here today because we have the big boss man, Jim Louthan, here today. He is running the program in place of Dan O'Brien. So Jim will be here for these 4 hours. And Jim used to produce, or still sometimes does, produce the midday show. And he's the guy who actually sets the schedule for everybody. You, me, all the producers, you know, Mike Lockhart, Nick, Jamelli, everybody, all the scheduling goes through Jim. So for some reason, the guy in charge is working the worst shift. Jim Louth, how in God's name did you have to? I mean, because you don't live in Massachusetts. You have, what, an hour and 10-minute commute in?
45 minutes today.
Oh, okay. That's true. You're coming from a long ways away. How, you're the guy in charge of all of this. How in the world did you wind up with this shift?
You know, sometimes you get short bodies on a day and just have to fill in. That's all.
You're a company man. I like it a lot. Yeah. Now, Jim and Joe and I assume we're under a little bit of scrutiny today. I mean, this is, you're the guy in charge of scheduling everyone.
I think Jim lets it loose, man.
You think that's what it is?
I think Jim, and don't correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, but you like it when we let it loose, right?
Have fun. It's Friday. Summer.
I'm just
trying not to screw up back here. This is my first time running the show in a long time.
Is that right? When was the last time you were in this early?
It was like a Christmas Eve one year, yeah.
Well, how many years ago?
A couple years ago.
Oh, okay. So it was more recent than I thought it was. Yeah. But yeah, usually.
You're right. We might be under a little scrutiny.
I mean, the guy who does the scheduling is going to be right here seeing how this show runs. I mean, it's the third time we've done it. I'd like to think we did well the first two times, but I mean, There's a little bit of nerves involved here.
Well, you know, the boss can always just, you know, chime in when we're wrong.
That's a good point.
Mike Lockhart can, you know, make fun of us when we screw up.
That's a good point. And Mike has a big role in today's show. We're going to get to it as we move along. But yeah, I hadn't thought of it that way. Jim, if we kind of float off track, you'll be sure to keep us back on because we want to make the good impression. We want to come back here and do this again.
Yeah, and if I screw up, don't treat me any differently than you would treat Dan or Nick or anybody else.
Oh, fantastic. I like that idea a lot. No, this is very, very good.
You might not want that, Jim.
I don't know if you've learned and listened to the show. People tend to be, I mean, Joe made not one but two brutal mistakes in the 7 o'clock hour yesterday, and he paid dearly for it. People's Champ was struggled a little bit during the midway part of the show yesterday.
It was good radio, though.
It was excellent radio, and I can tell you personally, it was a lot of fun to watch. Yeah. Because as a guy who suffered a great deal at the hands of all the people of this program, I'm very, very happy that someone else got it for a change.
I'm glad we can get. Well, if I have to be Big Bad Joe today again, I will.
Okay, good.
Because I will definitely
be. You're the muscle of the program. I
will definitely be Big Bad Joe. Regarding the Bruins last night.
Okay.
Starting to build a little library on you, Joe.
I think so.
We have it in reserve. Before we get to the Bruins, and we'll get to it, and again, if you want to call in and talk about the Bruins and their Game 2 loss last night, 617-779-0985. We'll take any and all phone calls this morning as we move along. Joe and I will be here till 10 o'clock. There are times when you work out that you play music, you know, Bluetooth or headphones or earbuds or whatever, and you get yourself pumped up for the workout. You want to make sure you get through it because just sitting there and trying to just get through it doesn't always happen. You need some extra motivation. I'm happy to say that Joe Murray is treating this show as a workout. Joe was in here. He was all fired up
And, you know, most people walk in at 5:55 in the morning. We're all tired. And that's normal because it's not normal to wake up at 4:30 in the morning and go into work. But we all have jobs. This is something we enjoy doing. So we get through it. We don't get a lot of sleep. We get up early in the morning and we come in. Joe, this is the first time, and Joe's worked a lot on this program during this summer for one reason or another. This is the first time that Joe has come in here like fired up. He is fired up, and it's nice because this is an opportunity to do things we don't ordinarily do, and you and I enjoy this a lot. But Joe listened to Pump Up Music coming in today in the car. You had the mixtape or a mixtape. You had the mixed montage of songs to get you ready for this experience today.
It was more like last night's Bruins game. I was very animated on Twitter after.
Sure,
saw that.
Right, kind of hard to miss.
I mean, I responded to everybody.
Yeah,
everybody who tweeted me last night, I responded to them.
Yep.
I am not a Tuukka Rask hater, which we will talk about.
No, I understand.
But I have my own opinions.
But why the music? That's a little different.
I feel like I'm putting on the mask today. I'm putting on the equipment. And
really?
Going to be taking the shots today because. So I listened to Metallica on the way in today.
Uh huh.
And I, like when I tell you, like I'm pumped up.
Are we talking old school Metallica?
Like
what are we talking?
Seek and Destroy.
Wow.
Master of Puppets.
Goodness.
I went old school. None of that Black Album and everything on from there. No Fuel. None of that stuff.
No, I get it.
No Saint Anger.
Okay.
All old school from whom? There we go. Yeah.
No Turn the Page. The worst cover of any song ever.
No Turn the Page.
I agree with that. That's awful. Yeah.
Yeah. I felt like Will Ferrell getting the van in old school. Pick it up. Pick it up, Blue. And tell the wife, don't you say anything. Yeah, that's how I woke up today.
Oh, wow.
And, I'm ready to go,
all
man.
All right, good.
It's a
I'm happy to hear that. We need the energy.
Loss?
Yes, we need the energy. But I have to ask Mike Lockhart,
yes.
You know, Nick, anybody, has anyone listened to Pump Up Music coming in to work this program?
I mean, I kind of listen to that every morning.
Really?
Well, I'm not trying to pump myself up, but I do listen to.
Keep yourself awake.
Exactly. I'm trying to keep myself awake so I'm not upside down on 93 somewhere.
Yeah, I know. That's the same thing. I'll do that, but I listen to more Van Halen, the old stuff before Sammy Hagar joined the band, that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, I'm more of a 90s hip hop kind of guy.
Really?
On the way in.
And how come you're not.
Wu-Tang.
Well, wait a minute. Oh, I was just going to say, how come you're not taking these Casanova quizzes instead of me?
Oh, that's not hip hop.
No, I know it's not. I know it's not. But you said 90s, and I'm like, oh, okay. New Jack Swing. No, yeah. It's not. It's Wu-Tang. That's a whole different category.
Yeah, not to mention, I put on the Friday shirt today as well.
Oh, look at that. That's right.
It looks similar to the Thursday shirt.
And the Wednesday shirt and the Tuesday shirt
similar.
And the Monday shirt. You ought to have been a baseball writer. You have the widest collection of Hawaiian shirts known to man. Now, you have the black Hawaiian shirt with the green and red print, the leaves, as if to prove that you have. Now, how many Hawaiian shirts do you have? Now, again, you have to be a certain body size to handle this, but I'm going to guess. Oh, wait. Everyone on the program, let's take a guess as to how many Hawaiian shirts Joe has, because that's number 6 or 7. I'm going to say 15. Mike, what do you got?
I'm going to go 11.
11? Nick, you got a guess?
10.
10? Well, how many Hawaiian shirts?
I think I have about 15.
Wow.
Winner!
That's a lot.
I'm on my way. I've never seen you. Once the weather got scorching hot, that's all Joe wears.
I'm actually
the Hawaiian
wearing sneakers
shirt.
Today. I've been wearing Sperry's for...
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. I just woke up, it was 60 degrees. My feet were cold.
I see. Well, okay. Well, we're happy.
But
we're happy.
I get the Friday shirt on. Friday song on the way in. I'm ready for today's show.
I'm just psyched for the Hawaiian shirt because if I ever fall asleep, I'll just look at the shirt and just wake straight up.
We got to get you a Hawaiian shirt.
I have a bunch.
Yeah, Wallach, could get him a gold chain.
I have a bunch. I have some chest hair, and I'm not afraid to use it. No,
maybe we'll pop an earring back.
Oh, sure. That's
maybe a bandana.
That's me in general. Yes, the bandana. Right.
What's the over under on the amount of puffy pirate shirts John owns from the 90s?
I'm gonna say he's got like 4.
Only one.
Oh.
Only one.
At least
only
there was one.
Only one puffy shirt. No, I own a collection of Hawaiian shirts, but for some reason I just don't wear them. I don't know why. I mean, now would be the period of time to do it. I mean, it would get me back in touch with my roots when I did cover the Red Sox on a daily basis. And you know who the leader was of the Hawaiian shirt brigade? God rest his soul, Nick Cafardo. Nick Cafardo had more Hawaiian shirts. You'd go to spring training, he'd be there. Anytime after June 30th, from like 1st of July through, say, the third week of August, Nick had the impressive catalog. And no one questioned him on it because, you know, he had tenure. No one went after him because he had tenure. He's a member of the Hall of Fame now, Baseball Hall of Fame now. But that was Nick. Nick had more Hawaiian shirts than even you, Joe. So 15 Hawaiian shirts. You've worn one every single day this week. I feel oddly relaxed and wanting to listen to Jimmy Buffett. This is fantastic.
Did you get some pina coladas out of
that's
the
right.
Show, maybe?
That's yeah. right. 617-779-0985. Well, the one thing we learned last night is that, as expected, the Carolina Hurricanes are not going to go quietly. This is a series. Carolina won last night. They were more physical than the Bruins. They dominated them after the first period for just about the entire game. The Bruins had a late flurry at the end, and they started playing the desperate hockey they should have been playing all the way through. David Pastrnak did not play. He was a late scratch, deemed unfit to play, but he was in the building, as TV picked up on. He was sitting there in the building watching the game last night, so that's the good news. It wasn't a positive COVID test, so it is something else, and we'll get into all of that. We'll go through the Bruins game. Some news on the Celtics and the Red Sox are next, and what happened last night. It's John Wallach. It's Joe Murray on a Friday. Toucher and Rich program here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Toucher and Rip.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5 The Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich program for a Friday. Fred and Rich off today. John Wallach, Joe Murray getting you to 10 o'clock. Coming up in the program, we will talk football with Bert Breer. His annual Friday conversation. He will be on with us. We'll get the Hurricane side of things. Sarah Sivian, who used to work here in Boston, now covers the Carolina Hurricanes for The Athletic. She'll join us later today as well. And we'll talk a little Celtics with Jay King, also The Athletic. That's coming up here today on the program. But as for what happened last night, Bruins played Carolina. And before the game, this is game two of the series. Bruins had a 1-0 lead. And before the game, we all found out that top scorer David Pastrnak would not play for the Bruins. He was deemed unfit to play, but cameras picked him up in the building during the game watching. So the good news is it's not a positive COVID test. And also during the game, the cameras picked him up away from the play on a Bruins goal. He seemed to be wincing. Now, what that means, we're not sure. And we'll get into what that means for the Bruins as we move along. But first, the game. Bruins started out very well in the first period.
Near circle, it's Krejci across. One-timer, Krug sent it wide.
No stick from again.
Near circle, it's Krejci.
Now it's Stahl. Stahl gave him his.
Far point, now to the high slot. Krejci fakes. Fakes again, shoots, he scores! David Krejci with a wrist shot at the high slot that finds the net. The Bruins with a power play goal lead game two, 1-0.
And the Bruins led 1-0 after one, and playoff David Krejci is worth every single cent the Bruins pay him.
Yeah.
You can say what you want about regular season Krejci. And you forget that he has these runs where during the playoffs he's invaluable. And the first four periods of this playoff series, he and McAvoy were the two guys that were carrying the Bruins.
Yeah, I'll say this about Krejci. If you really watch there, he was at the top of the point. Yesterday, I don't love Pastrnak at the point. I don't. I know he turned, but Krejci does not do that. But if you watched, he had a hell of a fake.
Yep.
Like, if you watch it, he bit on it. The guy didn't have his stick. It was, and if you look at it, the guy did a whole twirl. But it was a great goal right from the top of the point. Had a nice little fake. Little wrist array passed and put the Bees up 1-0.
And that's where the fun stopped for the Bruins, because Carolina in the second period came out and dominated play for most of the way, and they went ahead 2-1. But you know what the best thing is for a terrible period? To score with less than 5 seconds left in it.
14 seconds left. Bergeron sent it into the slot, and Richie had his stick taken. Up top, here's Krejci. Wrist right circle, Bergeron. Bergeron shoots, deflected, they score! With 4 seconds left in the second, Marchand hammers it home. A power play goal. Bruins 2, Hurricanes 2.
So the Bruins did not play well at all. Carolina dominated play for almost the entire period. But thanks to that late goal, the Bruins and Carolina went to the third period, tied at 2. Carolina scored the go-ahead goal with about 3 minutes gone in period number 3. But then something happened that Rod Brind'Amour was angry about again.
Near circle, Aho, near point, Hamilton with a shot. That trickles free out in front, left to the cage. Rask is down. That puck goes. They score. Now the referee is waving it off. Wes McCauley behind the net definitively said no goal after the puck went in.
That Teravainen came right through the crease, and it didn't look like he was pushed. Rask can't reset. Rask actually put it in the net himself, but he came in there on his own.
After reviewing the play, the call on the ice is confirmed. We have no goal for goaltender interference. Carolina, minor penalty, delay of game.
And that was the right call. I mean, you can look at it as a Carolina fan or a Bruins fan. Rask was interfered with. He didn't have a chance to scramble back left to right in his crease. And, yeah, he did knock it into his own net, but it was after he was interfered with. And Brind'Amour, who was angry enough with the officials after game one, you could see him on the bench just, like, wave the officials off. Like, don't get near me. I don't want to hear what you have to say. He didn't complain, though, about it afterwards, and yeah. He shouldn't have, because that was the correct call to make.
I think it was the correct call because of where the ref was. He was right behind the net. He saw it. My only thing, and we discussed this yesterday, you know, last year's final, Stanley Cup final, Berube got in the ear of the refs. I thought maybe that $25,000 fine could have wavered there.
Didn't. It wasn't a good investment because he didn't get the benefit of the doubt last night.
I was more surprised that they called it a no goal on the ice. I thought that would have been something they called a goal on the ice, went to the replay, and then reversed it.
Yeah.
That's actually what I thought would happen. The referee was in the right position to make that call. It was the right call there. But, again, the refs, sometimes when a coach calls you out the night before.
Didn't happen, though. Didn't happen. Refs played it straight down the middle. So, unfortunately, that was kind of the no goal, and it kind of covered up the fact that Carolina once again carried play, much like they did in the second period, carried it most of the third as well. So, ultimately, you could see this coming.
Krejci tried to reverse it. The Bruins can't get it to connect. They fight for it in the slot. It squirts to DeBrusque. He'll play it to the corner. Natchez. Natchez back of the net. Natchez right circle. Hamilton, he scores. Dougie Hamilton rips one from the top of the right wing circle by Rask. And Carolina moves in front 3-2.
Yeah, Bruins were pinned in their own zone for 90 seconds at a time. It didn't matter what line was out there. Carolina just flat out played better for most of the game. And you can't blame that last goal on Tuukka Rask either. I mean, Hamilton.
We're about to.
Hamilton, it would seem so. And this is called setting Joe up. I'm playing volleyball here. I just bumped it high in the air so Joe could spike it. I'm telling you, Rask had no shot at that one. And he made a couple of great saves to keep his team in the game, but Hamilton picked a corner, and it was a one-timer, and Rask almost never saw it.
The defense was out of position.
Defense right? was awful.
The defense was awful.
Yeah.
Rask was out of position. He saw the slap shot. In my opinion, he should have stopped it.
I disagree.
Hear me out. Just hear me out. I feel that if you could sleep last night, if you went to sleep last night, feeling comfortable that you lost to Dougie Hamilton and a slap shot, there is something wrong with you. This is playoff hockey. The guy you traded away.
Yep.
That you got, we'll go over the trade in a little bit. Because not a good trade. Not a good trade. It was a good slap shot. Nobody could get in front of it. But if you watch Rask, he's way out of position. He sees the shot. He puts up his left hand. It goes over his right shoulder. He got beat on. How many goals did he get beat on the right shoulder last night? I think all of them. Every single one of them.
So you're blaming Rask for the loss?
No, I think that Tuukka Rask should be able to stop a Dougie Hamilton slap shot.
Well, if it was another, say Slavin scored the goal, would you be this upset?
No.
Okay. I just wanted to make
sure.
The
hill I will die on today.
Okay.
I will die on this hill today.
Okay.
Tuukka Rask could have. I'm not Rask bashing.
It sounds like
I'm not Rask bashing.
That's exactly what it sounds
like. He's not the reason why you lost the game last night.
That was my point to start.
He is not the reason why you lost, but I think he needs to stop that shot.
I think Dougie Hamilton, who is one of the best defensive goal scorers in the league, one of, if not the best.
Better than McAvoy?
Defensive goal scorers. Well, I mean, look, you can bounce from, you know, petty nonsense to petty nonsense. Dougie Hamilton is a much better defenseman now than he was when he left. And
curious.
By the way, Calgary traded him away. Traded him to Carolina.
Jim, so I didn't get an answer there.
About what?
Who's better, McAvoy or Dougie Hamilton?
Right now, Hamilton.
Okay. Thank you.
But he wasn't when he left. And by the way, the team the Bruins traded him to, traded him again. It wasn't like he left and immediately became tremendous. That was my point. I mean, look, the Bruins weren't the only team that gave up on him.
Wasn't he considered, like, uppity? Weren't they calling him uppity and they wanted
young.
Him out of here?
Yes, that's correct.
They were a family-oriented hockey team.
Yeah.
Tuukka Rask was out of position. He could have made that save.
You're upset that Hamilton scored. You're not upset that Rask got beat.
I am rarely upset that he got beat by Dougie Hamilton. Yes, I am. I'm extremely
because
upset.
It's Hamilton. That's the reason.
Yes, but I feel like he could make that save.
I think it was the hardest shot I ever saw in my life.
Get your ass in position and stop it. Like, Tuukka Rask's a good goaltender. He's a good goaltender. It was a good slap shot. You can stop that puck.
All right. Listen,
everybody was out of position in that play. Everybody. Nobody could get in front of it. I'm watching it again right now. That was why did he put his left hand up? He saw the whole entire shot. It went right over his right. My whole thing is that's a stop he needs to make, and he didn't.
I disagree. I think that was one of those times where a good goal scorer picked a corner and beat a good goaltender. Let's go to Luke. Luke is on line two. Luke is in Scituate. You want to defend Joe?
Yeah, I think on the Hamilton goal, it's a one-timer, and that's his game. That was an absolute bomb right where the only place where he could have put it. And Rask was squared up to it. It's like he didn't see it. It's like he was out of position. And then the Svechnikov goal was a catch and shoot from the slot right under the crossbar. Those are two goals that if you give a shooter that shot, they're going to score.
There you go. There you have it. An expert just chimed in. Likes my point of view rather than yours. Clearly, you're wrong.
Listen, my only days of playing goaltender at Fallon Field.
Here we go.
I used to play deck hockey, man.
I
never played in the NHL. I'm watching the replay. Uh-huh. Rask was squared up. Granted, he was a little to the post to the left. I think he saw the shot. I think he's a good goaltender. I think he should have stopped that shot.
That was a bomb from the top of the circle.
Okay,
top
so
corner.
Let's tip our cap to Dougie Hamilton.
Yes, that's
game,
correct.
Series tied 1-1 and move on.
I can't
be settled. That doesn't settle me. I can't handle that today.
Okay.
I will not sit on the show today and say you got beat by Dougie Hamilton. I feel that
that's what happened.
Should have stopped that play.
That's what happened. And he scored a great goal to put his team ahead. He beat you last night.
Mike,
Dougie Hamilton beat
how do you
last
feel,
night.
Mike?
I'm on Joe Wallach's side. I thought it was a rip, and I didn't think he had a chance.
Okay.
There it is.
Jim, am I off base here, boss?
Oh, here we go. Let's kiss the ass of the boss.
I'm not upset with what Tuukka did on the ice. I'm more
Thank
upset
you.
With what he did after the game.
And we're going to get to that. So let's take a break here, and we will get to that. Some curious words from Tuukka Rask and an update on David Pastrnak's availability from Bruce Cassidy as we run down the Bruins game. John Wallach, Joe Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Phone
long Friday edition of the Toucher and Rich program. John Wallach, Joe Murray in, getting you through till 10 o'clock. Bruins lose Carolina 3-2 last night, their best-of-seven first-round playoff series, even at one game apiece. Big story of this game is that David Pastrnak did not play for the Bruins. He was a late scratch and deemed unfit to play. And, of course, when you have that designation, and not that it would happen anyway during a normal circumstance, you really don't have to disclose what's wrong. All that we know is it's not a positive COVID test because Pastrnak was in the building last night. So the question was asked to Bruce Cassidy, what's the deal on Pastrnak?
He was questionable from the game yesterday afternoon, this morning, and he was getting treatment, unfit to participate. We don't believe it'll be long-term, Kevin. That's a day-to-day thing, we hope. So obviously targeting Saturday at noon, but until we see him tomorrow, and a tough Saturday noon because tough to test that, you know, get out skating in a morning skate type of thing. So it'll probably be right down to the game time again on Saturday.
The one piece of good news is that Cassidy went on to say he doesn't think this is a long-term thing, and just by listening to him there, it doesn't sound like a long-term thing if it's going to be a game time decision for game three tomorrow afternoon. But the saw this audio video rather on Nesson during one of the Bruins' goals. You saw Pastrnak jump up in the air, land, and then wince, and was still wincing when he was skated over to join the celebration after the goal by his teammates. Who knows what it is? It could be a groin, it could be a knee, it could be a core muscle injury, whatever it is. Those kinds of things at this time of year give you pause, because the Bruins had to go out there and play without one of the best goal scorers on the planet, and it hurt them because they did nothing in the offensive end after the first period.
So wait, is this all you have to say now is unfit to play? You don't have to give any injury report?
That's like correct.
That's kind of sucky.
Well, in the end, it's not like they're free and easy with disclosing injuries at this time
of
year anyway.
You know, unfit to play, you know, you'd know if he was like running around town getting drunk or if he hurt his knee or something.
Yeah, I mean, like, in two totally different things. It's not a good look when you say Pastrnak's unfit to play when you don't know it's an injury, right?
Right.
I'm like trying not to speculate before the game, like, oh, what did he do? Is this COVID related? You know, that's not fair to the player. I totally agree with that. Until they showed him, you know, Nesson shows the you know, him jumping in the air and tweaking it. Maybe it's his leg, his groin, whatever.
Maybe it's an ankle when he came down. I mean, Lord knows what it is, but the good news is it doesn't appear to be long-term.
But it drives me, like, was he injured really on that?
Well, I don't know. It's interesting you bring that up because Mike in New Hampshire has a theory. Mike, you're next on the Sports Hub.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey.
Yeah, the Bruins are doing their best Bill Belichick, blowing smoke, unfit to play. It's just like you said, Wallach. In the Bergeron goal in overtime, you see Pastrnak jump up. He immediately winces, and he skates over like he's hurt. So he must have took some damage during that game and then just not saying it. So we're in trouble.
I'm not willing to say they're in trouble. I mean, they skated with that team in the first period without Pastrnak out there. And at least at the beginning of the game, Anders Bjork looked like he fit in on the top line. I thought Marchand played really well for long periods of time yesterday in the offensive end. I mean, we hadn't seen a lot of Marchand at all, really. He hadn't been able to create much. But, I mean, in this series, he looks a lot better. And the Bruins are going to need that.
I think they could have won the game without David Pastrnak. Early on in that first period, they owned that game. They were throwing Carolina around. Mm-hmm. They made James Reimer look bad. Something happened in that second period. You have two goals, one of them an easy goal. Rask's fault, by the way.
Which one?
The second one.
The one where that snipe that put Carolina up 2-1?
No, I'm talking about the buck handling one. Where
the first one, yeah. The second and third ones were not his fault.
Yeah, and on the third one more time, I said right shoulder. No, I actually just watched a better view, which helps my argument. Went right over his glove. How did he not? He was in position. And granted, it's a great shot. But you need to have that save. You're one of the highest paid goalies in the league. This isn't Rask bashing. It's the fact that you're one of the best goalies in the league. Yeah, you're going to see great slap shots from defensemen. But, like, you need to have that save in a third period.
I think there aren't many goaltenders that would have been able to stop that. I think that was one of the best goal-scoring defensemen in the league. Picked a corner, and I think it was a one-timer. And I don't care if he saw it or not. That was one of those goals where you go, that, Dougie, good job.
I just can't believe you're willing to tip your cap.
I'm tipping my
beat in a playoff game by Dougie Hamilton.
That's the problem. You see, that's the thing.
Yeah, but how come you can't? You don't want to get on Rask at all. Like, you're just like,
third goals were not his fault. He was not the reason you lost that
game.
He
is not the reason you lost the game, and I totally agree with that.
And I think that was a goal scorer's goal.
So I can't criticize
the goalie
for not stopping a slap shot.
You can criticize whoever you want. I'm telling you I think you're wrong.
Okay.
And everyone else in the room seems to join me.
He was out of position, and his glove was right there. He missed it.
The puck was past him.
You need to have those stops in a playoff.
And I'm telling you, maybe one goaltender on the planet would have had that. Maybe. That's what I'm telling you.
Well, Tim Thomas and 11 would have had
that. That's right.
Tim
Thomas would have had it. Hashtag.
He would have stopped it with a skate.
That's right. He would have scrambled all over the place, and literally stood on his head and stacked the pads. He would have had it.
He's the Joe Murray of the NHL.
That's a real good way of putting it. So we're talking about Tuukka Rask. Let's discuss Tuukka Rask, because I thought he played okay in this game and wasn't the reason that they lost, but Rask made a lot of headlines for the stuff he said after the game.
Well, to be honest with you, it doesn't really feel like playoff hockey out there. There's no fans, so it's kind of like playing an exhibition game. Obviously, you know, there's some scrums after whistles, and I haven't noticed anything that they would be targeting me or whatnot. You know, it's, things happen, people fall on you and whatnot, but, you know, it's definitely not a playoff atmosphere out there.
Okay, that's not good.
No.
In any way, shape, or form, that's not good. And again, you can kind of take it with a small grain of salt, because goaltenders, I think we can all agree, operate in a different headspace from the rest of us normal people. I mean, if you've ever, and I've been lucky enough to do this, you spend a little time with Rask at a charity event, you realize he's just a different kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not surprised he said something like this, but considering where he is and what had just happened, the fact that he's having a hard time getting up for stuff like this, not a good look. In any way, shape, or form, he should know better.
I agree. And I think it makes my point.
How does that make your point?
Because the intent, he's not focused. He should have had that shot. He needs the intensity of a crowd to be into it to make a third period stop on a slap shot?
Apparently, yeah.
And is that the thought around the locker room?
That's the thing.
Everything
that's what you're worried
said
about.
Everything he has said bled through that locker room going back to the round robin.
Right.
Now,
that's
Wallach, I'll agree with you. The round robin...
Sure.
Maybe was
you had to
a,
be
the
proven.
Pre-season.
You had to be proven wrong.
I had to be proven. But
yes.
At the same time, I thought that if you go 0-3, it's a bad look, and it was. You just
they
went to double
care.
Overtime with Carolina.
Yep.
And you won, and we're all like, "Oh, this team had it." Blah blah. And then you lose to Dougie Hamilton in Game 2.
Yeah.
They need to flip a switch for Game 3, and otherwise they could definitely lose
the
series.
Is Dougie Hamilton a good defenseman or not?
Yes, he is.
All right.
Yeah.
So where's the shame in that?
You didn't want him, though.
That's right. The guy they didn't want. That's right.
That they shipped
and
off for a bag of donuts.
And by the way, Calgary didn't want either. It wasn't like they traded him to Carolina and he got good. I mean, he played 3 years in Calgary and didn't exactly light the world on fire, and they got rid of him. Now he's good. He's good 4 or 5 years after you got rid of him. There's no way in hell you could have known this. I don't understand what your obsession is with it. Now, I didn't particularly like him when he was here. There are a lot of Bruins fans that didn't particularly like him while he was here. And the Bruins obviously didn't like him while he was here. That's why he's gone. But it wasn't like they traded him and immediately he stepped up his game and became an all-world defenseman. No, this is 4 or 5 years later that he got good. And the fact of the matter is, Joe, he is good.
He's good.
And you can be upset.
Better than McAvoy.
And you can be. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. You're upset the Bruins lost to Dougie Hamilton. And my advice to you is get over it.
John.
He's good. He made a good shot. And I asked you earlier in the program, if it was Slavin that beat Rask, would you be this pissed? And you said no.
No, I wouldn't.
That means it is a good shot. You're worried about the guy who took the shot.
That's right. I am. I think he
should. Do you realize how irrational that is?
I think that glove side, and again, it was when I watched it.
If Slavin beat him, you wouldn't care if it was glove side between his legs or over his right shoulder.
In real time, yeah, I thought it was his right shoulder because he got beat there so many times.
So
the fact that now I watched it from the actual back angle of it, I think he should have had it eat more.
No,
I'm actually more convinced he should have had it.
Joe, I've explained
it's
this
fine.
To you three
you
or four times.
Me? You don't like my opinion? That's fine.
No.
But it's the playoffs.
Yes,
I want my goalie to make stops in a playoff game. He didn't. So therefore, I'm coming in the next day, and I am saying that I think he should have had it.
So he's supposed to shut everybody up.
After the game, he comes out.
Now you can argue about that. That's ridiculous. Rask should not have said that. That's an idiotic thing to say after a playoff loss like that. But ultimately, on the ice, he had little or nothing to do with the reason you lost. And you're putting it all on him. Putting it all on him because the guy who scored against him is a guy you don't like. That's the only reason.
I don't think he's the reason why you lost the game. I think he turned the puck over at one point trying to be cute and gave up a goal.
Fine.
Okay, and then I think he should have had a glove side slap shot from Dougie Hamilton.
So by definition, the fact he gave up the go-ahead goal means you do think he's the reason
they
lost.
No, I think they were bad in their own zone.
For about a period in three quarters. The Bruins didn't play well the entire second period.
They lost to James Reimer. Do I even have to throw that in there?
Well, that's not.
He stinks.
Yeah. Reimer gives up. I don't know how many bad rebounds Reimer
gave. With 5 seconds to go, I thought he was going to let one slip by the goal.
Well, that would be James Reimer for you. Okay, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, going to get away from the Bruins just to quickly mention the Celtics and maybe the Red Sox if we have a spare 60 seconds. It's Wallach. It's Murray on a Friday in for Fred and Rich here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, more Toucher Rich. Toucher Rich. Toucher Rich. On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Excuse me, madam. You're standing still in a no parking zone. If you don't get a move on that body, I'll be forced to give you a ticket. So get right there.
John Wallach, Joe Murray for a Friday. Fred and Rich off today. Bruins lose to Carolina 3-2 and have evened this playoff series at one game apiece. We have Bert Breer from the MMQB coming up here in a couple of minutes. But I wanted to talk a little Celtics as we veer away from the Bruins for a few minutes here. Celtics lost 96-90 to the Washington Wizards in their final game, regular season game in the bubble. None of the top six players played. They were all held out for the playoffs to avoid injury. And now the Celtics look forward to the first round of the playoffs. They will play the Philadelphia 76ers, who will be without top player Ben Simmons, who just underwent knee surgery. But Brad Stevens, after yesterday's game, was quick to point out Sixers are still pretty good.
We've been looking at Philly, obviously, with the idea that they're a likely opponent. They're a heck of a team. You know, in the games that Simmons hasn't played, they're the number one offense in the league. The spacing, the shooting around Embiid posting, the ability to play both big with Embiid and Al, and then small with one of those two guys at the five and a bunch of shooters around them, makes them very tough.
All right, Celtics still win in five games. Maybe four. It depends. I'll give Embiid one game where he just goes nuts and you can't stop him, and he scores 40 points and adds 20 rebounds and five blocks, because Joel Embiid is really, really good, and the Celtics really don't have a guy to match up with him. But you're kidding yourself if it goes any further than that.
Yeah. So the one thought I have on that, John, is remember a couple years ago when Kyrie Irving got hurt and it energized the team. It was like a better locker room. Yeah. And Ben Simmons seems to be a prick and everybody hates him on that team. So maybe they come out firing.
And you signed Simmons to a long-term contract, too. That's not good.
My thing is, what's the health of Embiid, right? I didn't see him play. I didn't look his
No, they held him out. No, he's got the ankle. He's got the ankle, but it wasn't considered a long-term thing. I would imagine he'd be ready for the playoffs.
But, you know, my whole thing, I don't think they have the bench, but people question the Celtics bench, too. So, you know, the size could be an issue. Who knows? Al Horford? What are you going to put? Who's going to defend Horford?
That's the thing.
Would you put Tatum on him?
Without Simmons, and Rich and I were talking about this earlier this week, without Simmons, that means Horford has much more of a role. And you don't know about the health of that knee, which was a problem last year and this year. But now that he's a little freer in that offense, it's much more dangerous. But, and I wanted to ask you this, Joe. When the Celtics had eight games to play in the NBA restart, the seeding games, the over-under was what?
5.5.
Okay. Celtics had five wins before yesterday's game. They were 5-2. And if you bet the over and you took a look at who the Celtics rested and ran out there yesterday, I would imagine if you were a bettor, you got to be more than a little angry about that.
Oh, yeah, and they had a lead at one point, too. Yeah, I'm sure you are. The whole thing with the restart, though, and those over-unders, like, you know, no one had the Suns winning. You know what I mean? Like the Wizards were 1.5. They won one game. You know what I mean? Like, so, yeah, you're right. There are people who lost there. Just getting back to the 76ers series, though, I think the Celtics play very well when it comes to half-court games. Like we saw with Toronto, they don't have true three-point shooters. I know Tobias Harris can shoot, but I think they have a guy, Furkan, who can come off the bench and shoot. But like
Korkmaz.
They don't have, like, guys who can keep, I don't think they can keep up with the
Korkmaz is the guy. Korkmaz is a deadly three-point shooter. That he's the guy they – if you need a three, he's the reason they let J.J. Redick go. I mean, he's a much cheaper version of J.J. Redick. So,
John, quickly, the only question I had about yesterday's game, and I know it doesn't really matter, but maybe it's because they're saving him for the playoffs, but why did Robert Williams only play 8 minutes? I figured a game like that would be prime time to get him big minutes.
They're saving him.
They might need his fouls. I mean, if there's anything we've noticed about Robert, hit another couple of nice jump shots yesterday.
Yeah, that's two exactly.
Yes. Makes my argument. That's
it's like
why.
Mark Price out there.
I do think that offensively he can help.
Yes.
The rebounding is going to be
the issue. No, that's one thing we learned, is that Robert Williams has earned, you know, 10 minutes off the bench in a playoff game. And, again, he doesn't rebound particularly well, and on offense he's very limited, but he can help you out. And his six fouls will matter against a guy like Joel Embiid. Real quick about the Red Sox before we get to Bert Breer at the top of the hour. Red Sox lost to Tampa Bay 17-8 yesterday. It's the first time Tampa has swept a four-game series at Fenway Park in a decade. And Ron Renicki was quick to point out, you know, we'll be okay.
You know, it's just kind of the way it's going. We're just going through a bad point, and we keep talking about how we need to turn it around, and we're not doing that. So I don't know. Guys need to relax and just play how they're capable. This is, you know, there's some good players on this team, and I still have a lot of confidence in them. And so I still think it's going to show up, but it just, you know, it's hard watching games like that. And I know
you have Nathan Eovaldi, Martin Perez, who is pitching way over his head at this point, and you have three hitters in that lineup that people care about. J.D. Martinez, who seems to have found it, Xander Bogaerts, and Christian Vasquez, who is a very good hitting catcher. Other than that, you have nothing. They are 6-13. Now they have to go to Yankee Stadium this weekend. This team might be the worst Red Sox team of my lifetime.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Mine, too.
I wish I could say that the manager had something to do.
No,
there's nothing you can do about last night.
The manager tried to finish the game by pitching Jose Peraza, an infielder, and
even in
true Red Sox fashion, Peraza got hit in the knee with a line drive and had to leave the game. They didn't replace him with another pitcher. Yeah. They replaced him with the backup catcher, Plawecki, who actually, it's kind of like a Little League game. He went into the dugout, took off his catcher's equipment, strolled out to the mound, and got the last three outs.
I haven't seen that since Roger Clemens.
It's amazing.
But
by the way, stuff like this happens to crappy teams, and that's what the Red Sox are.
You're right. That's the only criticism I have of the manager from last night. You pitch a position player, he gets hurt.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that since Jose Canseco.
It never happens. And by the way, I was at the Canseco game. That was fun. 617-779-0985. 1 hour down, 3 hours to go. We'll talk some football with Bert Breer coming up next. Let's try it in English. Bert Breer coming up next. It's Toucher and Rich for a Friday here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.